Return to Camp Blood, episode 48. This episode is brought to you by FridayThirteenthFranchise.com.
This is cursed. Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing if you stay here.
Never come back again.
You see, Jason was my son, and today is his birthday.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow counselor, Eric.
What's up, y'all?
And introducing a new counselor in training, Mr. Bobby fucking Hill.
Why do I gotta be Bobby fucking Hill?
Because you're Bobby fucking Hill, that's why.
That's right. Bobby.
All right, so I apologize for the Rick roll, but it had to be done. But it was not without its reasons. But tonight, before we get into the meat of the show, we wanted to show our appreciation to you, the listening audience. Last month was our best month in terms of downloads to date. We ended the month with almost 20,000 downloads. So, to celebrate, we want to give you a Betsy Palmer autograph. All you need to do is send an email to feedback@campbloodpodcast.com to enter. Make the subject field 20K, and we will draw randomly the winner. So if you're a patron to the show, you'll automatically be entered, so you don't have to do shit.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate it. Thank you all so much. It's humbling to see so many downloads in a month listening to us theorize and pick apart films that we love with all of our heart, and hope you do too. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So let's see. We haven't done an episode dealing with listener mail in a long time. I think What was our You Asked, We Answered episode? That was like episode, what, like two? No, not two, but like three or four. It was really early on.
It was really early.
Yeah, when we talked about Pamela's tale, because so many people asked us about Pamela's backstory. But listener Rev Mark, if in fact that is your real name, sir, sent us a lengthy email about part three that I sort of felt like, you know, deserved its own episode. So I guess we're just going to jump right into this. Like I said, it's kind of long. So we're just going to, you know, read a little bit and discuss and so on and so forth and shit. So he says, "Hey guys, I'm a long time Friday the 13th fan. I just discovered your podcast and have been enjoying listening to it. Thank you, sir. I may not always agree with some of the assessments and points of view thus far, but that doesn't mean I'm not enjoying the podcast and doesn't mean I cannot appreciate your point of view and the great job you guys are doing. On that note, I love the animosity towards Rick. It's pretty funny and has me chuckling every time it gets brought up. Ah, here comes the butt. However, I have another take, as we as viewers knew far more of what was going on than Rick did. The film establishes that only Debbie... The film establishes that only Debbie and possibly Andy knew what happened to Chris. We also only know what happened, quote unquote, happened a long time ago, and she's fine now. What that exactly means is anyone's guess. Was it 1 year ago, as in last summer? Maybe downplaying things while around acquaintances, new friends like Vera, Shelley, Chuck, and Chili? Or was it years and years ago? This is left very ambiguous. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is me speaking now, not the Rev. I'm pretty sure she said it was like 2 years ago.
She did, in fact, say it was 2 years.
Now, I never got the impression that anybody else really knew what happened.
I did get the impression that Debbie knew by the way that they were reacting whenever they first pulled up. And Chris, you know, she's got big eyes and Debbie's there to comfort her. And like it's not verbally spoken, but it's like Debbie knew that Chris was uncomfortable and why she was uncomfortable.
So you say she was feeling uncomfortable.
Well, Debbie made a comment, and I can't remember because I have not watched that film since we did the episode. But I believe Debbie makes a comment about it being a long time ago, and that's where we kind of get the timeline of what happened to Chris. And for the record, Jason is not wearing the same clothes that he's wearing at Higgins Haven, or that he stole from Harold. Once they pull up in the van at Higgins Haven, and they're all about to go skinny dipping, Chris is looking scared towards the barn, and Debbie offers some words of support, saying that it was a long time ago. Am I right, Chris?
I think she was, now if I remember, I think she was referring to the Jason experience she thought she had. That's the reason why I feel that she was talking about, it's been a while since you've been up here, so I know you feel some type of way.
Right, so, and that's why I'm alluding that Debbie knew, and since Debbie was carrying Andy's baby, I mean, you could suffice it to say that she probably shared some information with Andy, so you could speculate that Andy knew. So, but from her reaction, I would say that Debbie knew that something had happened, but Rick would be completely oblivious to the fact. I mean, because the broke down Volkswagen scene is when she first tells him what happened and why she's been as standoffish as she's been.
So Chris, as I was telling you the other day, I believe in Chris. Chris is that normal guy. So without him knowing that information, of course he's going to act the way he acted. He doesn't know that she had a traumatic experience. He had no idea because she never told him. And I guarantee you that if she was honest with him, that he would have probably been a little bit more understanding.
I disagree, because I get the impression just from their conversation that he at least knew something happened. I mean, if you go back and listen to our part three episode, which you can find, good people, at campbloodpodcast.com/6, you know, we sort of talked about the things he was saying to her. And, you know, regardless of whether he knew or not, he was still a fucking asshole, like, you know, coming on to her when she clearly didn't want him to several times. So, you know, there's no forgiveness here on Rick, whether he knew or not. But I got the impression even later in the film where he's rocking the Pammy V sweater that he at least knew something happened. He didn't know the full story until she told it, but he knew something happened. But regardless, it doesn't matter to me. He still acted like a total fucking douchehead.
Now, I know you're setting your belief, but I personally think it's okay that there's nothing wrong with showing a woman that you still want her, no matter what type of way. Emotionally, he's probably been there for her emotionally, but he also wants to be there for her physically as well. And I believe there's nothing wrong with...
No.
Ha.
He is all about him fucking self in that scene. He ain't he don't give a two shits about her. Because if he did, he wouldn't have been coming on to her so many times after she said no. Well, I can only take so many cold showers. Get the fuck out of here.
By the way, I'm still gonna be making that. I'm still gonna make that my text message.
All right. So, the film also establishes a history, and this is back to the email, because I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here. The film also establishes a history between Rick and Chris. Rick has been some form of caretaker for the cabin, vacation spot owned by Chris's family. We know that whenever the original incident occurred, Chris and Rick have been out on a date of some sort, or maybe hitting up a makeout spot somewhere. We are also given the impression that Chris is a local of some sort, being that she knows the area, how to get there, and knows who the Mary Jo Conrad is. I mean, that fucking comment alone that he makes when he's bailing hay, like, you could take it sort of as a joke, but I take it as one of those sarcastic things you say that's like halfway truth and halfway joke.
Being passive aggressive.
Yeah, that's what I like. Oh, I passed up my fucking time with the town slut so I could be here with you. You're not putting out, so fuck you, because I could have been fucking the Mary Jo Conrad.
I really think he meant that as a joke.
I mean, that's possible, but.
You've never messed around before? You've never been like, man, I could have been out doing this? And just being playful?
If I have, it's been being passive aggressive. I mean, I can attribute Rick to being young, dumb, and full of something that rhymes with both of those.
Bravo.
But his approach did suck. It really did. But I mean, let's go to Dirty Dancing. Baby moves away.
Nobody puts Baby in the corner.
Do you think Johnny would, 2 years after the fact, if she's in the corner, that he's not going to say nobody puts Baby in the corner? He's going to react to the last time that they were together. And from the way that I took it, she hadn't been back there and hadn't had any communication. So if they had had a hot and heavy relationship prior, and where they could be young kids and having premarital sex and enjoying each other's body.
Smoking pot.
Absolutely.
Some chick named Chili.
Nice Pardex reference right there.
I get what you're saying. I really do. But the impression that I got from their relationship was that they were like some sort of fucking Grease-esque summer love type bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, their relationship might have been hot and heavy for like a summer.
I agree.
And then maybe they didn't have any communication for a while after that.
And Rick wanted to pick up where they left off.
Then there's nothing wrong with that if the other person's ready.
But the conflict comes whenever Chris isn't ready for that. And Rick doesn't understand it at all. So he's like, you know, I haven't had any release for a bit, and I'm here with you because we had something at some point in time, and I'm going straight back to there. And she makes the comment. She needs to, what's the comment she makes? Learn the place again. I can't remember the exact quote.
Yeah, it was something like that. I think what you're getting into, the Rev here, starts talking about in the next paragraph, so I'm going to go ahead and continue. The film then establishes that Rick had no idea the incident even occurred. This makes the timeline of how long he and Chris had been hooking up or in an on-again, off-again relationship, and where the incident fits inside the timeline, a bit difficult to figure out. I do not agree with that. I think, I mean, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that in the timeline, as far as, you know, relative to the movie, that the incident with Jason happened 2 years prior to the events in the movie. I mean, yeah, I sort of agree with the on again, off again part. But it really seemed to me like a decent amount of time had elapsed since their last meeting and her coming back to Higgins Haven.
But what I don't understand is they didn't just show up there at Higgins Haven. Chris would have had to communicate with Rick because he did give up the night with Mary Jo Conrad, the Mary Jo Conrad, for her. So they've had at least telephone communication. So, I don't know if maybe Chris might have been playing Rick a little bit and going along with it, and he expected it right away. Then the shock, her PTSD kicked in whenever she got to Higgins Haven and she wasn't able to live up to what they had been talking about and what they had done in the past. Whereas Rick was just acting like they did.
I can agree to that. I feel the same way. That's why I'm behind Rick. I've always been behind Rick ever since I saw Rick. I'm like, you know what, Rick, you're my guy.
To continue, my take is that Rick is not that big of a douche. Wrong. I get the feeling that Chris and her family lived in town, or at least a township or two over, and Rick lived in the more rural, wooded area and did more manual labor-style jobs and only finished high school. Maybe they met while Rick was working for Chris's dad doing work around the cabin and its surrounding property? That's a question for some reason. I get the impression that Rick is also a little bit older than Chris. They also seem to be an on-again, off-again couple, probably. This may be a summer fling due to Chris only coming out for summers until the incident, or they dated until Chris went away to college, hence Rick being a dumb country boy and not having seen her since the prior summer. We also know from the first two films that in town there are diners, restaurants, businesses, etc., not to mention a hopping casino and after-hours clubs. I disagree that Rick is not that big of a douche. He is. I do not get the feeling that Chris and her family live in town. But I agree with pretty much the rest of that, as I've already alluded to earlier. I think their relationship was a summer fling. It's not the only problem that I have with it. It doesn't give us good indication of how long it's been since Chris and Rick had been together, previous. So it's hard to fit their relationship in the timeline. But like I said, I'm pretty sure that she puts the encounter with Jason at 2 years prior. I'm just saying.
Yes, they do. But she also alludes to their relationship that they had before as well. When she's telling the story about the cannibal rapey guy. And,
yes.
And so when she's telling him, the reason she got smacked in the face by her mom was because she was out late with Rick. And I mean, he's trying to pick up right where he left off. And maybe his approach is, His passive aggressive comments. There's only so many cold showers I can take. But
dick.
Yeah.
Still my favorite sentence. Great one.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, the two of them, there's no doubt that they had something previous, and there's no doubt that they had communication. And I mean, I'm almost happily married, but I mean, I've never not like popped in on a female and just tried to be something that is way off. I mean, I've seen people do that and it's really dickish. So if they hadn't communicated or they hadn't had a previous hot and heavy relationship or a summer fling or what have you, then Rick's a dickhead. But if they
agreed,
but if they had. And I mean, Rick doesn't seem like the type of guy that changes who he is. And so, and Chris was evidently attracted to it. She cared about him. Otherwise she wouldn't have told the story to him or care. I mean, her reaction to him flying through the window, I mean, was a little underdramatic. So, I mean, maybe she didn't care as much for him as he did her. And she was kind of just flaunting her stuff. So Chris Rick may be a dick, but Chris may be a little bit of a tease. I'm just saying.
I did not get that impression. I think that she went through a traumatic experience, withdrew a little bit, and fucking Mr. Rick over here didn't like it.
Rick didn't even know.
That's beside the point, though, whether he knew or not. She obviously withdrew from him. So it doesn't matter if he knew about it or not.
Are you saying that you wouldn't feel some type of way if some girl was saying, "Oh man, I really miss you. I really can't wait to see you. It's been such a long time. I'm coming up there this weekend. We're gonna hang out." Okay, cool. Heck yeah, I'm all for that. And then she gets up there, and then you're like, "Hey, how's it going? Like, what's up?" Like, and then she's just like, "Oh well, hold on, dude. Like, I don't even know you," and you're just like, "Oh, what's up?" You're just trying to get up. Like, you just want my goodies. Please let me know you. Let me refigure Rick out. You would feel some type of way. You'd be like, "Now hold up, like we were, and as Eric has, it's like we were this in the past. You know, we couldn't keep our hands off each other." And it was probably reciprocated. You know, he did his fair share and she probably did her fair share.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's getting the cold shoulder and he doesn't.
No, he's getting cold showers.
And he's only limited to a certain amount.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but like my whole contention with it was like he should have respected her wishes the first time she said, "Fuck off."
He very much should have, but he
did not.
Of course he didn't, but, you know, he's a guy. You have to be a pig sometimes to be.
Negative, sir. The first
negative.
No.
Disagree.
Not,
disagree.
Okay, now look.
Disagree. Like, no. And just to go on like a little, I don't know, feminist rant here. Like, you can't fucking excuse some asshole's behavior as, oh, boys will be boys. No, that's not a good excuse for being a fucking asshole. It's not. It's just not.
That is correct. And if he were an actual man, he would, the first time she rejected him and didn't reciprocate what he was expecting, he should have said, all right, hey, what's going on here? Instead of being passive aggressive about it, he should have had an adult conversation and saying, we had this. Now I'm getting this. Oh, you need some time to warm up to the place. All right, let's go for a walk in the woods at night when it's about to storm on a car with a bad battery.
All right, so let me just wrap up this email, because I think we're going to have more to say about, because this gets into the brunt of the Rev's main theory here. So he says, my theory is that Rick and Chris have been dating on again, off again for years. I don't have any problem with that. Probably since Chris was still in high school. Again, no issue with that. The incident took place several years ago, but Chris never told Rick. Again, I think we all agree. Chris has since gone away to college. I don't think it ever said that. That's how she knows Debbie, Andy, Shelley, Vera, etc. Since the incident and Chris going away to college, Rick and Chris have seen each other, but they only meet up in town during Chris's breaks from school, since Chris hasn't gone back to the cabin. But they are not exclusively dating while Chris is away at school. I could see that too. Chris and her friends from college are at Chris's family cabin to kick off their summer, and Chris lets Rick know she's out of school for the summer and tells him to meet them at the cabin. However, this is Chris's first time back to the cabin since the incident, which fucking proves my theory, this is not the Rev, that it had been a really long fucking time since Chris and Rick had anything to do with each other. And it's having an unexpected effect on her. I wouldn't say unexpected. Rick is used to them being a horny young couple whenever they meet. Fair enough. He's used to them being unable to keep their hands off each other. He's used to them being unable to keep their hands off one another when they see each other. But being back at the cabin is confusing Chris to close off and shut down, all unbeknownst to Rick, and he's just getting a cold shoulder. So I don't think he's necessarily a pushy douche. He's just used to Chris being more physical with him when they see one another. But being back is freaking her out. Never telling Rick what happened definitely doesn't help matters either. So I could agree with pretty much everything about that, but it goes back to the same thing. Like, the first time Chris said no, that should have been the end of it, in my opinion.
Or at least an adult conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if Chris would have been like, the first time Rick, you know, did some shit like that, you know, and Chris was like, you know what, I'm not ready for this, but let's talk later when we can have some more alone time. That may have been the more preferable mode that Chris should have taken. But even still, like, he still should have respected her wishes and not been a fucking pushy douchebag.
And I agree with that totally.
Rick seems like the type of guy that doesn't like the word no, not in a rapey sense, but just in a...
That definitely sounds like the rapey sense.
No, not so much. Well, I mean, if we all went through life just accepting no, it would be...
Yes, actually, we have. When a girl tells me no, that means no.
I mean, my wife-to-be says no to me all the time, believe me.
She says no to me, too. I don't understand it.
Me either. Damn it.
I don't know. Sometimes I think it's good to pursue. I mean, be persistent, because, I mean, again, sometimes you get judged at face value, and you have to be like, hey, give me a shot. Hey, let me in. Like, and, you know, eventually, you know, I think persistence works. That's pretty much my little wrap up for that.
Like, I understand, like, the feeling a dude has, like, okay, this girl might be into me. And so if I leave it at just this, then I'm going to regret it that I didn't pursue it harder. I mean, I understand that.
Yeah, that's what I, like, what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, you know, a healthy pursuance, not on the verge of like, why, like some anger.
Why don't you like me?
Give it up. Please give it to me.
But see, that's the impression from Rick that I get, because he just won't stop. It's like, and I mean, if you listen to our episode, number 6 or whatever, you actually, you'll hear the clip. He just doesn't take no for an answer. I mean, like, he's like that through the whole film with her, though. And that's the main problem that I have with him. Like, the first time she shut it down, he should have been like, okay, I respect that. I don't understand why. Hopefully we can converse about this later when we have some time to ourselves. So I'm gonna let it go. But he didn't do that. That's the problem I have with Rick. All right, let's close this out, this email out. Well, there isn't much more. Just another point of view from someone who's watched these films more times than I care to admit since the 80s. Keep up the good work. All right, gentlemen, final thoughts. Is Rick really a fucking douche? I'll let Bobby go first.
No, Rick is not a douche. Rick was misinformed. Rick was not kept up to date on how she was feeling. Rick was kept in the dark. And he, as the email said, you know, he's used to them acting like hot and horny teenagers. But she suffered that dramatic event. Now she's coming back to it. And as you said, PTSD kicked in. She wasn't expecting it. And neither was he. So, no, Rick is not a douche. He is persistent to the point of almost being a douche and really being a douche in a way. But 100% douche, no.
I'm going to say that he may not be as bad as what we originally accused him from being. Nonetheless, he still should have respected her boundaries and not passive aggressively tried to pressure into something she wasn't ready for. So he remains a douche, but if he's country, dumb, and that's still not a good excuse. He should have respected her boundaries at the first no, and had a conversation about it, then pursued on how they normally acted around each other. And we never got to see that because Chris didn't communicate to Rick why she was feeling the way she was feeling. And so by the time that they got back that togetherness back, he's getting his eye pulled out by a string.
All right. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever the fuck you listen to this show at. If you want to support the show financially, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate. If you have a question or a theory, you can hit us up at campbloodpodcast.com/feedback or comment on the show notes at campbloodpodcast.com/48. A special thanks goes out to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can check his stuff out at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.